What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
Well, I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
We're back.
We are back. You gave me a look like I was like, damn, are we not that anymore?
No, we're back. Took a hiatus off Thanksgiving. Hope everyone had a great holiday.
Absolutely. So we're going to kick things off with a quick recap of that loss to the Spurs that happened on Black Friday. Truly the worst of Black Fridays.
People were mad about it.
So that was a bummer. And then we're going to get into a meaty recap of the victory that we just came out of against the Washington Wizards. One of the best offenses in the league still. Managed to put up 150 on him, so that was that was pretty solid. And then we've got some shavings kind of kicking around the drawer. We're going to talk about the mighty dictatorship that is the NBA.
Dude, the content is under siege right now from the NBA.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
So the Clippers started off the road trip great. They won two in a row and then found their way to San Antonio, where they ended up losing 97-107.
Yep.
Real quick, Kawhi got booed pretty much every single time he touched the ball.
Expected. To be expected. TBE, if you will.
Definitely TBE. Lame for the Spurs fans to be booing him, or fair?
100% fair, man.
I'm kind of torn on it.
If he wins two chips and then leaves in a similar fashion, I'm going to boo every possession too.
But he got the chip, though.
Don't matter.
See, this is like, I don't know. It was such a weird situation, I guess. I think it's more a frustration boo. Like, yeah. They wish maybe he was back on the team still.
Here's the thing, man. From a fan perspective, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I'm
down with that.
This is somebody that you drafted. This is somebody that you thought was going to be the future for.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the Spurs did him right by any means, because they didn't. And I don't think that Kawhi was wrong, obviously. But
from the fan view,
I can imagine how much that would hurt. Yeah.
It hurt a little bit. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, he got booed. The booing, I guess, kind of worked, because things didn't go very well for the Clippers.
Well, unfortunately, they weren't booing Paul George and Lou Will, who had quite off offensive performances, which to me was really the biggest takeaway from this game.
Oh, yeah. Let's start with what we didn't like, because there's a little more than what we actually liked. But that's one of the things we didn't like, was all of the stats pretty much for this game.
Yeah, not really great. I believe we were sub 40% from the floor as a team.
Yeah.
Just 39% in that one. From three, 36%. So not really solid. I mean, I guess the biggest stories, though, like I said at the top of this segment, were really Paul George going 2 of 11 and Lou Williams 2 of 10. So a combined 4 for 21, which is one of those things.
I mean, an anomaly, I feel like. It just happened. It all happened on the same night.
Yeah.
Kawhi was 8 for 23. I mean, yeah, PG going 2 for 11 scoring 5 points is... That's unreal.
I would agree with you. It's an anomaly. It's one of those things that's like, it's like we talked about with Landry's 3-point shooting in the preseason and to open the season, is like, sometimes when things are that laughably bad,
you're just like,
you'll just live with it, because it's like, well, this ain't permanent.
Yeah, definitely.
I do want to piggyback on that, though, to another thing I don't like, which is just like,
yeah.
And I'm not saying everybody. Okay. But there is a faction of Clippers Twitter out there that is got their pitchfork sharpened anytime Lou Will has an off game.
Yeah, I think
It's the same faction, if you're unfamiliar. Wow. Who is...
This feels like weird pirate radio all of a sudden.
Who is constantly crying about the defensive effort of Lou Will and talking about the liability that he's on the floor. The man is won his way. He's... The man shot us out of so many corners.
Yeah.
That I think he's just earned the benefit of the doubt.
So you're saying he's above
criticism. I'm saying if he has a 10-game stretch where he's going
2 of 12 or whatever.
Where he's going 2 of 12, where he's going 7 for 35.
Okay.
You live with it.
Damn. I mean,
because guess what? It ain't forever.
That is true. It is not forever. That goes into a thing. This was a very sloppy game.
Yeah.
We lost turnovers 14-9, assists 28-23. We only took 13 free throws. All of those stats are pretty indicative of a rough performance. I read that the Spurs are 4-2 and they get 26 plus assists, which we let them do. Is sloppiness going to be the undoing for a solid seeding for this team, possibly? Mm. Like games like this where it's just kind of like, ah, damn it. You know what I mean?
No. You know why? Because there's only one game a year that's after Thanksgiving, baby.
You're jogging this up to the Thanksgiving hangover.
No, my boys were full.
That's fair.
The dude's eight. What are you going to do?
I mean, I can't argue with that. The Lou and Trez pick and roll was also not clicking. Aldridge and Pirtle did a good job of mitigating that. Justin Russo wrote a great piece on Medium about like this one 90-second stretch in this game where it was just like unfocused, like DeMar hit a big shot, and just things kind of just, it was like, not a defeated vibe from the Clippers, but one of those things where it was just like loose.
Yeah.
Everything was kind of rattling around.
Yeah. I mean,
there was some good though.
Yeah. The third quarter aside, I mean, we stayed in this one. It wasn't a great game, but.
And there were going to be games like this. We had kind of, one of the things Justin Russo actually wrote about that I think a lot of us agree with and kind of talked about in some of these games is we were talking about how great it was that we could play sloppy and still get the win. This was a game where we played sloppy and couldn't get the win. This was one of those where it's like, oh, this is what the frustrating end of a loss like this feels like.
Totally, totally. But, you know, it's not like a total blowout or anything.
No, like we didn't get embarrassed.
And maybe this is hubris of me coming out of this win that we had tonight, but I'm really not reading in too much of this one.
It is funny to think about this game after such a crazy performance against the Wizards.
I mean, and after such a great day. Being Thanksgiving, the best holiday of the year, some Clippers say.
What was good from this game? Jermichael Green, 4-6 from three.
Great to see him coming back.
16-8, like, that was fantastic. Lou had 7 assists. Usually things go well when he's distributing, but sometimes they don't. We won points in the paint, but we got killed in transition. I don't know. How were you feeling after you checked out the box score from this one?
Well, I mean, I was at the Venetian during this game.
Yeah, I was somewhere.
I was at the sports book. I was thinking about putting some money down. Glad I didn't at this point.
Glad we didn't.
So how am I feeling? I'm willing to let this one slide. Like, I'm willing to chalk this one up to like a conflagration of a hostile home environment, a sleepy day after a great after a great holiday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one. I mean, it would have been great to go perfect on that roadie, but we didn't. Spurs are always going to play extra hard against the Clips in this situation, with especially at home, like you just said.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? Coming up after this, we have a recap of the Clippers, I mean, bounce back win.
Could call it that.
Over the Wizards, but first,
don't call it a comeback.
You know why it wasn't a comeback? Because it wasn't ever possible, which is the best kind of win. Want to give a shout out to Audible. They have the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. If you're listening on the go, can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. And if you want to advertise on here, get at us at Locked On Clips on Twitter or at shavings.podcast@gmail.com. Okay, welcome to this recap. Big win for the Clips.
Really, really big win. A mere possession away from a franchise scoring record.
Yes, that would have been great. There was no Mo Wagner for the Wizards, no Rodney Magruder for the Clippers. Interesting quote. Doc said he's not close to returning, but he was like, shoot around pregame. That seems tough. This timeline is so tough, like with the Shamit one too, where it's like, I don't know when it's healed, it's healed.
With the, ankle's tricky.
Ankle's tricky, hammy's tricky. It was just interesting that Doc was just like, he's not close. Like, it's like, oh, damn, all right. Like,
I just assume that to mean that he's yet to play at practice.
Yeah, which apparently no one has, which we're going to talk about in the freshies. There wasn't too much to dislike about this game. Will, what did you like about this game?
Just the bounce back in scoring from everybody was really, really solid. As a team in this one, we shot a much more reasonable 55% from the floor, including 44% from three.
Oof, I didn't know it was that good.
And just across the board, I mean, this was just a well-distributed win. The highest scorers on our starting lineup combined for 65 points. Highest scores on the bench combined for 45. So just really, really solid. Yeah, 34-point game from Kawhi, 31-point game from Paul George, 22 from Lou, and 23 from Montrez. Yeah, it was just a great, great performance offensively. Nice to see everybody kind of popping out of the post-Thanksgiving slump that was the Spurs game.
The even keelness was really cool to see, because when Paul George had 15 in the first quarter, and I think a lot of people were like, oh, this is going to be a strictly Paul George game. And then Trez set a career high with boards. I mean, Kawhi shot 66%. Lou had 60% shooting.
Montrezl Harrell had a double-double in the first half, I believe.
Dude, we're going to talk about this in the freshies, but his contract situation is getting more and more interesting as his improvement happens. Yeah, the paint domination was great. We won points in the paint 66-46. Kawhi went 10 of 11 in the paint tonight. Wow. On field goals. We out-rebounded them 52-43. Part of it, we did play the Wizards, which is one of the bottom defenses in the league. But it was great to see.
I believe the bottom. Yeah, I believe it's 30th.
Possibly 30th. It was great to see the efficiency. What else did you like from this game? Oh, we saw some Jerome minutes, which was nice.
Yeah, saw Jerome looking pretty good. The Paul George dunk was just a moment, but it was something that I really, really liked.
He cocked that one back. That one felt good. It's hard with a game like this when we put up 150, because there's a whole bunch to like, especially offensively. This was Kawhi. I mean, it was nice to see Kawhi. I would like to see his assist numbers go up a little bit. We didn't really need to.
Yeah.
The turnovers, he only had one, which was great.
Overall, on what we like, Terrence Mann played a solid game defensively too.
Oh yeah, on ball.
I have some mixed feelings about this a little bit, which in what we dislike, which I guess, should we just jump into that right now? Do you have anything else?
There's some things that do kind of get, we can talk about for this.
So just
for sure.
Like I said, with Terrence Mann, played a solid defensive game. Doc, after the game, said that he actually feels that that's where Terrence Mann can kind of make an impact as a player.
Yeah.
Which I think is solid advice, especially under the tutelage of a Patrick Beverley, Kawhi, Paul George, both. And it's one of those things that even if the offense isn't working, like his shot looks pretty shaky. It's one of those things to hang your hat on. However, tonight, while he did look good on ball, I guess a little bit of me was questioning whether he's put into that role, because that is the only place he can play defense. Does that make sense?
It makes a bunch of sense, and it's completely accurate. Doc's talked about it before, where it's like, yeah, the on ball, you watch him and all the tools are there. He's got the crazy wingspan. Mm-hmm. He can get deflections. He had a couple deflections and a nice block tonight. But off ball, he gets lost. He just definitely looks like a rookie on off ball defense.
For sure.
Which will get you benched quick.
Yeah. Which is another one of those things that I think is hard for me, even as a viewer, to sometimes give him the benefit of the doubt of, just because, like, you know, we're this team with these expectations.
And everyone else is so good at off ball.
Yes, that he is. And he is, at the end of the day, still a rookie. So it's one of those things I definitely have to keep in stride. There was a nice little sequence where he hit a block and then a possession or a possession two later. He had a nice little cutting layup.
His inside scoring is amazing. His touch, like the way he can kind of switch. We've seen him switch hands a couple times on finger rolls, which has been good. He still refuses to shoot.
Yeah, so
he did that in this game, and Trez was like yelling at him.
Yeah, so this is another thing that I disliked. It's just the spacing of that second unit. So tonight, that the full reserve unit was Terrence Mann, Sweet Lou, obviously Jerome. So we have that kind of three guard lineup back in effect that last year the team was running with so hard. And then you have Jermichael at the four and Trez at the five. And the spacing is just kind of weird to me on this group.
And it gets even weirder with Jermichael being out, but
yeah. So I don't know. Terrence Mann, anytime he's not on ball, he's like kind of posted up in the corner, but he's not really a shooter. So someone's just waiting for him to cut, essentially.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's in the scouting report from any other team.
Like, it has to be.
He will not shoot.
It has to be the first thing.
He will not shoot. So the spacing is kind of rough. Obviously, you do have Jamichael out there who can is a little bit more versatile, but obviously, so he took a really hard fall.
Dude, I'm surprised he like got up as quick as he did.
He took a really hard fall and got a tailbone contusion.
Yeah, which is big ass bruise, is what that means.
It's a big bruise. I'm not too worried about the return timeline or anything like that. Instant when it had initially happened, I thought that.
I thought his back exploded.
I was going to say, I thought he might have broken his back. Yeah, I thought dude, that he might have.
He
thought,
fell so goddamn hard.
I thought they were going to have to copter him out for a bacchiotomy.
Yeah, like he fell so damn hard, dude.
So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm really.
That was the biggest development from this game is Jamichael going out.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Patrick Patterson, who looked good tonight, is going to be able to step up in that role a little bit, namely just knock down shots.
That's all we need to do. One more quick note about Terrence. If he had a few rough jump pass turnovers, but I'm going to chalk that up to youth as well.
Mm-hmm.
He had a couple of those late. There was a stretch in the third quarter that felt like last year would have been the situation where we lose the game. But last year, of course, we didn't have guys like Paul George and Kawhi to help us out. Yeah. It was like, I don't know if it was the whole first 7 or so minutes of the third quarter, but it felt like a large middle chunk of it was just like weird, kind of like arrogant shot selection and lax defense that cut the lead. I mean, it cut the lead to 13 points with 4 minutes left from the third, which isn't obviously the most dangerous lead or anything like that. But the vibe and everything was just off for that period.
Yeah, I actually didn't think it carried over to the whole period. But I mean, the start, we looked like a team that put up 82.5 on another team. There's really no other way I can say it. And yeah, you don't like to watch those kind of leads dissolve. But I mean, Davis Bertans, huge shout out.
Seven of 10, 6 of 9 from three. He had 20 points.
It was insane. He was really, really solid.
Yeah, we lost the third 41-34, which is kind of incredible.
Still only got outscored by 7 points.
Yeah.
I don't know. At the start of the quarter, I agree, it seemed like it would be much worse.
But then the Wizards were the Wizards. Thankfully, they have the worst defense. So I talked about this a little bit. The Wiz put up 25. Yes, statistically, they're second best offensive team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Did that feel like too many, or was that just right for you to give up to the Wiz?
If it wasn't another 150 game, I would say that it was too high. You know, like if we won this by a narrower margin, like let's even say like 135 or something.
Yeah,
I would say.
A 10-point win, it would have been like, this was weird.
Yeah, I would say that it's that it would be a bit too much. But like, I don't know, you really do got to give credit where it's due sometimes. Doc talked about slowing down this offense a little bit, which I do think they were able to. They were able to control for the most part.
After the first, they were only down 4.
Yeah.
Like that's so after the first quarter, I was like, oh man. Like,
yeah.
If we got kind of cold, this could have been tough. But then the second quarter, we held them to 22.
Yeah.
Which was kind of nice. We got to give a shout out to Ruri Hachimura. He had 30 points, defended Kawhi pretty well in a couple possessions. You have an interesting note about this.
Yeah.
Which
so,
I hadn't thought about.
The first possession, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong later, but I believe the first possession that Rui was guarding Kawhi, he just put one on his head. Like, it was nothing.
Oof.
And then a little bit later, it seemed like Rui was adapting and really able to use his physicality to kind of put a stop to some of the bullying that you see Kawhi do, like, in the lane and around the basket.
Yeah.
And it just
he adjusted well for a rookie for some of those things.
It just had me wondering, like, is that the Kawhi kryptonite in a 7-game series to have a really like a strong, young, athletic power forward who's able to take Kawhi's strength?
Who, funnily enough, models his game after Kawhi offensively. He said as much.
Yeah,
which is so funny.
Yeah, which I. I don't know that he's watching enough Kawhi because his jumper, because his jumper really isn't there either.
Yeah, and his defense isn't there either. But I think this is definitely something to keep an eye on, and I think this is where the minute situation comes into play so much, because I was going to talk about this in the how we feeling, but no one in this game played over 29 minutes for the Clippers, which is
incredible.
Oh, that might be my favorite part of this whole win.
Yeah,
is that right there? So I think he might be right. Because Rui, like, he wasn't backing down. He's going to make, if a young athletic power forward is going to make Kawhi work on defense, that's kind of the toughest. You're right. I would agree that that's the toughest thing to go against. Because anything else, I have total confidence in him. But just, like, kind of tiring him down. I'm not so much, But, yeah, that's where I'm really excited about the load management.
Yeah.
It's just keeping him fresh for those matchups, for sure.
And this is just a pondering, you know. Like, obviously, Rui isn't destroying Kawhi in a 7-game series, but I'm just saying,
if he does, it will be in the finals of this year, and everyone's heads will have exploded by that point, I think. So all in all, we talked about Jermichael leaving with the tailbone contusion. Bradley Beal had 23-11. Shout out to Bradley Beal. He looked...
I didn't dislike that. That was fine. Bradley Beal's a good player.
No, I'm saying he looked ever so much like the player that we've talked about last year and still people talk about this year of, like, we should try and make a trade for Bradley Beal.
I don't think the pieces are there.
Not anymore. They weren't. But Shea and Beal was a very...
He's wanted. Coming off the bench. It's Lou and Beal coming off the bench, and we just have an unfair squad.
We give him Jerome and...
Terrence Mann.
Maybe Derek Walton, who didn't get enough run tonight. That was the one thing I disliked about this game.
So let's get into how we feeling.
Feeling great. I mean, this win couldn't have gone any better.
Yeah.
I thought maybe Kawhi and Paul George played a little too much, but I'm also fine with it. Wish they maybe would have gone for the record more if they were going to play that much.
Yeah.
Great for the day off going against an opponent. I kind of hope Jermichael sits against the Blazers. But yeah, biggest takeaway from this game, not a lot of minutes. I don't know. Shooting looked great. What about you?
I'm feeling really high. I'm feeling like a Kid Cudi guest verse on a Kanye song that's just mms. It's not just even homes. Words.
That's a good call. How do you feel about Jermichael on Tuesday?
How do I feel about him? What do you mean?
Like, let him sit or you want him to play?
Jermichael?
Yeah.
Let him sit. Let him sit. Actually, make him stand. Don't want to hurt that tailbone.
That's a good call. Coming up after this, we're talking the freshies. We have some discussion about the no practice situation that's going on with the Clippers, Trez's contract, and being upset at the NBA for copyright striking YouTube channels. Okay? It's the freshies.
It's the freshies, which I might have called shavings at the end of the episode, so my bad.
It all works. So this theme throughout the season still is just how little the team has practiced together.
Yeah.
It's like disgust. A bunch. Doc said in all his years of coaching, he's never gone into game 21 where his two best players have never had a practice together. Their last practice was November 9th. They've yet to be in the same lineup in a practice. And my favorite quote about this is Trez does not seem to care at all. Trez said, these guys can do what they're doing without having a practice in. Who's to say they even need one? I can't argue with Trez's point.
I love it because it's your talking practice, but about these guys?
Yeah, it's like the third. Yeah, it's like twice removed. Is this bad? Is this just something? Are we impressed with how the Clippers have handled this so far?
I think so. I
is it both?
Honestly, I feel like we...
Do we blow practice out of proportion?
No, I think that it depends on the team. Like, there are struggles. And Lou mentioned even that, you know, there's going to be struggles when you have guys who are used to having a ball dominant role who score 20 plus a night from three different teams all try to come and play together.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that practice helps in.
For sure.
But the thing is, you know, the storyline for the Clippers this year is unfortunately going to be centered around the load management discussion.
And which gets even crazier now. We got Shaman out, Magruder out, Jermichael out.
Yes. And I think that this is another way to do that where maybe you can drop a few less games. This is another way to do that where, yeah, you can feel fresh and it's not great.
That's,
you know,
it's
like
so
in
funny.
An ideal situation. Yeah, you would have both. You would be able to play the games. You'd be able to practice. Yeah. And no one would ever get injured.
And no one get hurt.
Unfortunately, that just doesn't happen.
It is funny because it just messes with my personal conventional idea of, like, I don't know, everyone should practice together more than It's hard for me to believe, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way, that they've somehow never been on the same lineup in a practice.
I think it was a docism, but
yeah, that seems like how is that possible?
It's a mix of both. Like that's a little bit of a docism, but they definitely have,
because there's also like practice and there's like skeleton drills.
Yeah, and all that other stuff. And I mean, I think that they have played less together. I do believe they played less together than any stars that Doc has had, but it's not like. It's not like they're two strangers who have only met each other in the locker room before a game.
Yeah, you're not adding like Westbrook and Ben Simmons together where it's like, how the hell are we going to do that?
Yes. Yeah.
It actually makes sense. I wish there was a way to measure this. Is the record for least amount of practices with most amount of wins? I think that's tracked.
So this is interesting. This is something that I'm actually not familiar with, but I'd be interested to know what kind of like practice requirements the players association
like what
has.
Defines a practice
or the union, or like if there are a certain number of mandated practices you have
minutes
to be
or
at
something, yeah,
or if that's all between the team and the player.
Yeah, because guys can storm out of practice. That's a good call, because sometimes at practice like you can kind of just dick around. Anyone who's been on a sports team knows that at any level of sports, if you really want to, you can dick around at practice.
That's true.
But yeah, shout out to the Clippers for not practicing but still being 15-6. We talked about this a tiny bit on the recap of the Wizards game. Trez continues to improve.
Mm-hmm.
This year he's tied his career high in points in a game. Mm-hmm. He's broken his career in rebounds. He is, for all intents and purposes, having a better year than last year, which people said was making a jump year for him. Does his contract, is he going to set the market for contracts for power forwards or for centers next year? Mm. We kind of talked about how maybe, who was it we talked about who's going to get that contract? Was it Sabonis's?
Yeah, Sabonis's deal I thought would kind of be the benchmark, which is about $20 million a year. I think it's in that, it's like that 4 for $80 range. It might be like 4 for $82, 4 for $86, whatever.
Yeah, so let's call like that, because him and Trez, they're not the same kind of player, but their role is kind of similar.
They're both fives who come off the bench essentially. Right now, Indiana is running, I believe, Sabonis at the four a little bit more with Miles Turner, but essentially, the reason I thought of that,
they're
in that market
same
contest,
tier.
It's they have kind of similar roles. With Trez, I would say having a more valuable, perhaps, offensive skill set.
Yeah, as of now, Trez is averaging a career best in points and rebounds,
mm-hmm.
as well as. Well, that's about it. But pretty large. Is he
the assist numbers are have to be up too?
2.2. Okay. Averaging 0.2 more.
That's 10%, baby.
That's 10%. Do you have him above or below the Sabonis line for that contract?
I got to put him above right now. And I think that it would be cool, obviously, if he
it'd be cool.
It'd be cool if he stayed below it, obviously, just for contract for contract concerns. But I would be really surprised if the rest of the league has not yet taken notice of what I would consider to be maybe the softest finisher in the like. He's got to have one of the softest touches in the league.
Yeah, he's a top five finisher. Yeah, Sabonis is at 4 for 75, 74-9 for all whatever. I'd put him just above it right now. I think he's at that like 4 for maybe 85. With what the talent is going to be,
I think someone would F around and throw 4 for 100 at him.
Ooh. Would you, if you're the Clippers, throw around 4 for 100 at him?
Depends on what you got. I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
That my thing is you have to, right?
If he continues on this trajectory, I can't see it.
Well, and just look at his usage some nights. I mean,
The minutes he's playing are absurd.
The minutes he's playing are absurd. I mean,
especially with the stretch that we needed to really lean on him without Kawhi and PG.
He had Ivica Zubac. Like
16 minutes now or something like that.
Yeah, he played under 16. He played around 15 minutes of relief. And I would say that, I mean, of that, more than a third of it was in, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's in garbage time minutes.
Of course. It's not disrespectful.
So
it's just right for the Wizards, but shouldn't have been there.
So I don't know. And that's not to discredit Zub.
No.
Either.
This is two guys. This is just a collision of Trez is just playing better right now.
Yeah, and it's a matchup-dependent thing. We do see heavier Zubats minutes at some points, but...
The Wizards did score a little more when Zubats was off the floor tonight, but it's like, I don't know, when Trez is playing the way he's playing...
Yeah, we also scored a hell of a lot more, though, when Trez was on the floor.
I know. It's interesting. I mean, something that I think everyone's keeping an eye on. We got one more minute to talk about this. The NBA has just decided as of literally, I think, today... yesterday,
yeah,
to finally start handing out copyright strikes for YouTube channels that make highlights. F off, man.
I think it's garbage.
It was one of the great things about the NBA was all the montages you could find.
I think that it's awesome when a league's fans are so rampant that they're like they are excited to create their own content for nothing.
Generating it's all free advertising from the NBA. Free Dawkins, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So I think that's a huge bummer. I don't think it's a good look for the league. And
very NFL-y.
And honestly, if you want to make more money, why don't you fix League Pass instead of spending time ripping down YouTube videos? Why don't you make League Pass work?
Let Free Dawkins live, dude. Like, let Balla's life do
I'm over it. I've always been a champion of the NBA as a league. I've been like, yeah, no, it's, you know, all sports leagues are kind of evil, but this one's
the less evil, but it's...
This year I feel like it's taken a lot of wrong steps. So, anyways, what are we going to have for them on the show tomorrow?
So, Tuesday's episode, we're going to be previewing the game against the Blazers. That will be a home game. That is at 7 p.m.
Ooh.
We're going to be answering your questions for Twitter Tuesdays. Whatever else happens to you now and then in Clipperland, you can send those questions to @LockedOnClips, @WillUpdike, or @CharlesMockler. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to review us, check us out on iTunes.
Yeah. Also, you know what? I think you should make a highlight video. I think you should just tape on an HDV camcorder, full-ass games, upload them to the internet, and double bird the NBA.
Yeah. And then get your channel stricken, but, you know.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Make a burner. Make another burner.
We will see Clipper Nation tomorrow. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Uptake. Thanks so much for tuning in. Appreciate you.
Nice. That Trez contract thing gets crazier by the freaking day, dude.